Well, today is February 20th, and I've really enjoyed being able to study more of Deuteronomy than I probably ever have before, and just spend time in God's Word with you. And so just dive right in here and discuss some of the things that we have read today. In Numbers 28 and 29, I guess you could summarize what we've read in two words: sacrifices and feasts. And we talked about the sin, we read about the sin offering, we read about the guilt offering, and those are mandatory, and they had to be brought in and were for making atonement for sin. The sin and guilt offering were directed towards God, but intended to do something for the person who brought the sacrifice to. They were to cleanse the person from defilement, and they were also to confess. They were to confess the sins that they had committed, that they had done. Now, with the case of the guilt offering, there is also the issue of restitution. And the guilt offering required that you paid back what you had taken and add 20% on to that as well. If there is more than one offering that was brought, the guilt offering was to be brought first, because before you can worship God, you must confess your sins. So I would encourage you to take some time to ask God to examine your heart, to confess your sins, and just reflect on that and ask God to reveal the sin that's in your life, or the sins that you committed, or the things that you should have done that you didn't do, and have that communion with God that way. The other offerings, the burnt offering, the fellowship offering, the grain offering, they were voluntary, and that meant they were directed towards God with no view towards accomplishing anything for the person who brought it. In actuality, it's really just a time of worship. And I think the question is, how many times do you worship? Not just on Sunday mornings, but how many times do you worship God throughout the week as well? It's interesting to note also the frequency of these sacrifices and of these sacrifices. They were to be offered twice a day, simply in order to please God. The daily offerings, the Sabbath offerings, the monthly offerings were burnt offerings. And why is this important? Because the primary purpose of these offerings is to worship, and for the message to convey it over and over again that God desires worship and looks forward to worship of His people. And a lot of times people come to church for their own needs, for their own reasons, their own motivation. It's about themselves. And I want to remind you that it's not just about how God can meet you, but it's also an opportunity when you go to church. It's about you worshiping God and taking time to worship God. So it is important to understand that and to understand why you go to church. Now, for the frequency of the sacrifices, I did a little math. And I think we need to see that the amount of sacrifices could be reassuring to Joshua as they were getting ready to go into the Promised Land. Every year, the priests were going to make a sacrifice of a minimum of 113 bulls, 32 rams, and 1,086 lambs, more than a ton of flour, and thousands of bottles of oil and wine. Now, why would that be reassuring to Joshua? Why would that be reassuring to the Israelites? Well, that meant that the Promised Land would provide and be able to supply that many bulls and rams and goats and sacrifices and flour and wine and oil. The instructions for sacrifice continued as God told Joshua which sacrifices should be offered and when. Now, here are the major feasts that were going on that God was orchestrating and ordaining for Israel. Passover, to symbolize the freeing of Israel. And then 50 days later comes the Feast of Weeks, which we know nowadays as Pentecost. And then there was the Feast of Trumpets, which would be in September, October, and it would indicate the anticipation of harvest. And then the Day of Atonement as well, which was the holiest of the festivals of the feast, when the high priest went in to sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the priests and the people for another year. And then there was the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, reminding the Israelites of their time in the wilderness. So let me go back to the Feast of what we call now Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The purpose was for the priest to offer sacrifices, a sin offering, and then a burnt offering, first for himself, and then for his family, and then for the entire nation of Israel. And then the order of events would go like this. Aaron would prepare himself by bathing and putting on special garments just for this occasion. And they were simpler than the normal priestly garb because they didn't want those elaborate garments to distract from the somberness. So the garment that he put on for Yom Kippur was very plain, very simple. Then he would sacrifice a bull for his own sins and then his family and then one of two goats to be slaughtered, and Aaron would sprinkle the blood upon the cover of the ark, the atonement cover or the mercy seat, and then seven times in front of the ark, and burning coal and incense to provide a thick covering over of smoke over the ark. And then the second oak goat called the scapegoat would be brought, and they would go outside the tabernacle. Aaron would lay both hands on the scapegoat, and he publicly confessed all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins for that past year. He would lay his hand on the goat, and then they would release that goat into the wilderness. And the symbolism was clear enough. The sin of Israel had been laid on the goat and removed from the presence of God and his people. Then Aaron took off all these the special clothes, bathed again, dressed in his normal priestly garb. And it's important, I think, to understand that the sacrifices were because of God's holiness. It was not just to remove the sin of the uncleanliness, of the sin in the Israelites' life, but the uncleanliness of all the material things used to approach God. Our God is a holy God. We notice in the New Testament, Paul reflected on the need for man's cleansing of sin, and he uses several expressions of this in the book of Romans on the uniqueness of the sin offered in the Day of Atonement. He said that God sent his own Son in the likeness of man to be a sin offering in Romans 8:3, and that Christ was delivered over to death for our sins, Romans 4:25. And in Corinthians, he pointed out that God gave Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. So perhaps that was the allusion or the reference to the Day of Atonement of the sins of Israel being laid symbolically upon a live goat. So the blood of Christ provides access to God, even as the blood of the sacrifices sprinkled by the high priest provided him access to God in the tabernacle. Now today, we don't have sacrifices, but may you be regularly reminded of the holiness of God and the access that we have of God to God because of Jesus, who is our perfect sacrifice. God bless.